John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast, presented by Parshiron. This is episode, who the fuck knows?
140.
Episode 140 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Parshiron. I love Parshiron. You love Parshiron. It's 2023. First episode of 2023. We're back. Thank you for staying with us through the hiatus of the holidays. I hope everybody had a great New Year. Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year. Great holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Happy New Year. Sorry.
We're going to start off this year by picking a winner to the Kendra Scott Photoshop contest. Who gets a Tom t-shirt?
They get the choice of the Compound t-shirts in the John Boy Media Shop.
I'd like to tell a little backstory first. The backstory is I'm in Austin. I'm on South Congress, which is a street there, a little shopping street. And I'm walking down, I see this big Kendra Scott sign. I knew the store was there, but I was like, oh, I'll take a picture of this. Be great. I snap the photo, send it to the group text. Tom goes, what do you want me to do with this photo of the Kendra Scott store? Why didn't you take a picture in front of the
store? It was kind of a good point.
I would have made more sense for you to stand in front of it.
Sorry, Tom. Sorry I didn't go pose in front of the store. But then he came up with a great idea for this Photoshop. People loved it. It was great. And so now we have some candidates, and we're going to pick who gets the shirt. And it was all thanks to Tom. Tom, maybe put like the finalists up
in the YouTube?
In the YouTube. First finalist is the
I think I already got my vote.
Pictures of all of us, and Rizzo is the sun with the Parsley bottle.
It's us in like random pictures like they found on like our Instagram, I think.
That one is fantastic. I mean,
you got Nico in the back saying, is that so? Scotty's on.
And then
there's a Sloan valve in that one too. That's very sneaky, right?
Ooh,
by like,
that's oh, right yeah. in front of you. Yeah, wow, that's a good one too.
The one of have, Ian, the, he looks pissed. The one where Tom is the bird above everybody.
That's the most well done edit, I think.
I love that one.
That one is fantastic. This one with the shopping bag where Shorty is running with the shopping bag killed me.
I don't know what the random duck is.
I'm not sure why the duck is there.
But like, I don't know why it's there.
Whoever did it, I would like for them to tell us why the duck is there. But Shorty running with this bag is Photoshopped so perfectly and hilarious.
That is good. That's good stuff right there.
I appreciate the one that was the lockout photos. Different and interesting. Probably not the winner, but different and interesting.
I already know my vote.
And then you have this one with all the bubbles, and Dakota's hat with the question mark cracks me up.
TBD. Probably not.
And then this eggnog, you drinking the eggnog with this photo is
the eggnog one's the best one because you also got Zach holding an iPad that says Kike Hernandez highlights on it.
Hey, and you know what's funny is
that that's incredible.
The picture or the thumbnail of that is at Comerica too.
That's so, and then they have the billboard, stupid billboard that John Boy had, really dumb billboard that cut my name off it. Keep it in, maybe Tom. Don't cut that. It's a dumb billboard. So minus a point for putting that in there,
but plus a point for the eggnogs. They're back to
plus 10 points for the eggnog.
Oh, right.
Okay. Everybody has to vote. Tom,
well, then you
vote
got
first.
The last one. Then there was one more with Ian making a catch.
Oh yeah,
me and Tom looking posing for a picture, basically together.
Dakota, that's a great photo. You that was from
it looks
the
like I'm
you were in that photo, Ian. It's when we visited the John Boy house.
It looks like I'm visiting a Sloan stall.
Yeah, it does.
Everybody has to put in your vote. Tom, you first.
Before we vote, very quickly, I want to think there was way more recipients than the just these people. So many people put in Photoshops, including our own Sarah Tepper, who does a great job on the TikToks. Hers is honestly probably my favorite, but she's totally ineligible. She spent all day lobbying me to try to become eligible. Sorry, if you work for the company, you're not eligible to win the prize.
Fair.
But I thank agree. Everyone.
Why don't you give her a shirt anyway to wear around?
Yeah, I said that's what I said to her. And I said, if you want a compound shirt, we'll just get you a compound shirt. You don't need that. Yeah. But thanks everyone who participated. I'm going to vote my favorite one. There's so many good ones. Me as the Hawk really makes me laugh. But I like the one with Dakota and I because we both have on the necklaces that we didn't receive from Kendra Scott. So that's my vote.
Damn, wow. You have good eyes, Tom. I didn't know you weren't wearing it either.
Yeah, that one's very detailed. That one, by the way, is from...
Oh, we're all wearing them.
Yes. That's from Joe at Burden Burner on Twitter. So thanks to Joe for that.
Okay, that's your vote. Zach?
Mine is the one with me holding the iPad just because of Dakota's face. And then in the background, you can see Hap like leaning over, making a smirk and like looking at us just like, Jesus, they're idiots. Like this is who I work with.
Dakota.
But I will say no Tom, though. I don't think.
Yeah, no Tom. It's okay.
I don't like that one.
Well, it's okay. That one's by Jameson Hiller. They did a great job.
Trying to see if he's hidden in there somewhere. A lot of these got hidden people.
That's what I'm looking. I'm looking at like it's where's Waldo? Where's
Tom? If he's like in the tree or something.
Can I tell you, there's a guy in the background who I did think for a second could have been me.
I thought that was you too, and I was like, that's fucked up if that's Tom.
Yeah.
Dakota.
It's 100% the eggnog one. It's not even close. No offense. You put eggnog in there, you had my vote instantly. I didn't even have to look at anything else.
You see anything?
I'm gonna go with this first one with Rizzo as the sun. With all of us in it.
Well, you got outvoted.
Of course.
You got outvoted, so.
Weird.
But Efros in the sign and the eco back there, that one was hilarious to me.
You know what?
But the eggnog one was a close number two, and I'm happy that they're the winner.
You know why I hate the Rizzo one? Because he's who you wish you were with. We're like, you settled for us.
That's a fact.
You settled, and this is what you're stuck with now, and you wish you're with your main man, Tony. Like, oh, me and Tony hanging out, being best friends.
Hey, Riz. Tony would be –
remember we were on the 90-foot yacht together in Chicago?
Ian, that was also – that was my second. If I didn't vote for the other one, I was going to vote for that one. And that's my Madison, by the way. She DM'd us. So that's – people might not see that one. I'll make sure that's on the – in the video because that was
good
just –
Good thing you didn't vote that one because if we had a 2-2 draw, this could get crazy.
Well, then two people would have got shirts, you know?
That's true.
Oh, we're just handing out participation trophies now, Tom?
Not anymore because the Madison only got one vote. Sorry to Madison.
Okay, we have a very special episode today with new Cubs
catcher. To our winner. Congrats to our winner.
Yep, congrats to our winner. Enjoy the shirt. We have a new Cubby, Tucker Barnhart, just officially announced today. Talked to the press today, I guess. I'm very excited to have him on. Very excited to talk a little switch hitting. We're going to talk a little catching behind the dish, joining a new team, former teammate of Shorty's. So very excited for that. Before that, not that much happened while we were gone, but I would like to touch on a contract extension from Rafael Devers brought to you by Athletic Greens, because you better have your Athletic Greens if you're going to go out there and get a contract extension. AG1. Dakota, did you have it this morning?
I did every morning. I don't eat it at night like you psychopath. Or drink it, sorry.
Yeah, I did have it. What was that last pod that I was drinking it at night?
Yeah, you drink it at night. Psycho.
I've been traveling quite a bit. I travel. And I've been taking the travel packs on the road with me so that I can make sure I get my 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced superfoods and probiotics with me.
Smart.
And very, very, very convenient to travel with them. Zach, would you like to say something nice about AG1?
Zach loves it.
Every morning still. What I mean, you know, it's just kind of a part of a daily routine.
So no one day
Athletic Greens family over here.
No cap.
Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything while tasting good. Athletic Greens, free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. AthleticGreens.com/compound. AthleticGreens.com/compound. take ownership over your health. Okay, let's talk about Rafael Devers. 11 for 331. Talk to me, Dakota.
I think in 2 years, he will be severely underpaid with that contract. I think he could get an absurd amount of money if he waited till free agency. Because
free agency is only 1 year. Free agency is only 1 year. He's in his last year of
all. No, I know, but I'm saying after this year, I think he would have got like a $400 million contract from a team.
Yeah,
I think
so. You're saying if he played through this year, you think he has another unbelievable year like he's had his whole career. Market's a little light next year, and you're saying he goes out, somebody clips him.
I think he gets a bigger deal than Aaron Judge.
Whoa!
Because he's only 27 years old. He'll be 27 in that.
What are you paying? 20 years?
I'm saying he'll be 2 years younger.
No, I know. I know.
I just think that's a huge difference. That's two more years of prime baseball.
So he signed that $17 million 1 year. Does that count for this year, or does it count into that contract?
It's included. Yeah. 17 and a half was his last ARB number. That's included in this deal.
Do you think yesterday when they were tweeting all that out, they're like, ooh, they think this is good. Just wait.
And I think or
they were like, wow, we're getting bitched at right now. We better extend this guy in 24 hours.
No, this thing's been in the works for a long time, and they've been talking for years, but they've been close for a little while. They got this. I think this was like the last kind of goodwill gesture to get that number out there. Honestly, a little bit surprising that they posted it and didn't just wrap it into the contract. But obviously getting that done early kind of signal that they were talking and working on stuff. So, I mean, good for him. Regardless, I think this is a good deal both ways. I think obviously he's played in Boston. He likes it there. They need to lock down a horse. Like, he is young. He gets paid. There's a lot of security. He gets to play in Boston for the rest of his career. And then I think this is a good deal for the Red Sox to have him in the middle of the lineup every day.
I love watching him play.
And that's what I say underpaid, but I mean, like, he could have gotten more if he
I think. I think that's if people balk at this number, if people are like 330, that's ridiculous.
He's getting 30 like million a year.
Just
yeah.
Well,
I calculated it.
You're smart.
I can type into a calculator. I think Zach would agree with me though, because I know Zach loves Devers.
No, I think he's great. Again, I forgot how young he was, but it's like, at some point, I just feel like you're splitting hairs where it's like, you know, he's making 30 mil opposed to 33 or whatever. And like, yeah, obviously that's a big deal. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, like, he's young. You don't know what's going to happen when he gets older. It's every contract though. But it's like, again, if somebody comes up to you and
play
says,
first too, like
that's what I was going to say.
Right,
he can play first towards the end.
Is he doesn't play short like a demanding position where it's like, hey, like, he's going to wear down. It's like he can go sit at first base and hit you 30 homers when he's 35.
You know what's crazy too is he play. Yeah, you can say that he plays with the Green Monster too. But like, if he's going to pull a ball, you got to pull it to get it out of there. Like that's a long way to center field and to right center.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I think as a lefty, no shift is going to help him a little bit. Not like significantly because he's a great hitter and he sprays the ball, but
I have a lot of Red Sox friends who I went to school with who are still in the area. We were talking last week at the dinner and we were just talking about Devers and just how kind of, you know, everybody's getting extended and there was kind of radio silence, I guess, you know, on social media and stuff. And then when he signed that one deal yesterday, we were all like, oh my God, he's going to walk. Like, they're going to let him walk. I didn't know that. Obviously didn't know it was going to happen the next day, but I was like, I just feel like you gotta lock this guy up, especially with the Mookie trade with who I think Jeter Downs was like the last piece of that to not be there. Oh no, they still have Verdugo, but like, Jeter Downs was supposed to be the next big thing coming up for them. And they caught a lot of heat of that when they DFA'd him recently. And it's like, you're letting all of these guys go. You better sign this guy to a long year.
It was the same as Judge. It was like, if you let him go, ownership in the GM, like, you'll never live it down. Like, you can't let that guy that you built in your system leave your team. Cause that's a top 10 hitter in baseball. realistically.
I think that's such a good example of like of the prospect thing about how like, oh, all these prospects and everything's going to be great. They're all going to be so good. They traded Mookie for just four players? What did they get? Four or five guys?
Yeah, it was with Verdugo, some, Downs. I'm not sure who else, but.
But with some top guys in that.
Connor Wong.
And, you know, you look back now and you're like, nobody from that trade is on the Red Sox roster except for the guy that was already producing in the big league. So,
again, that's like, it's like. But Theo said years ago, it's like, I will trade a prospect any day of the week. You just don't know.
You have no idea what's going to happen. See, it's not easy to prove yourself in the big leagues. That's all. Tom?
I was going to say, I can't believe that the Mookie, like looking at the Mookie Betts trade, the Dodgers also got Price, which I understand was.
Yeah.
But they gave two players, Mookie Betts and David Price, and only gave up three players. It's still one of the most mind-boggling trades we've ever seen, I think. Mookie Betts is one of the best outfielders in baseball for the last decade. He's going to continue to be that. And they got rid of him for seemingly no reason.
Mookie Betts is like realistically the second best player in baseball. Like behind Mike Trout.
Sorry, I saw Jeter Downs make his debut against Zach's Go Tigers. And let me tell you, not shocked that he's no longer with the Red Sox.
Hey.
Hope him well in the future.
Hey, come on.
That's a good pitching staff on that team. All right. The Tigers.
Tigers. And then hey, he did have his first hit against Gerrit Cole, right? Maybe that's why you're so salty.
Ooh.
He scored a game-winning run too in extra inning.
He had
right?
a huge hit against Ooh. The I'll give that.
Yeah, Tom, you know what? I literally read you like a book. It's kind of incredible.
I was gonna ask Tom a question about trading Yankees prospects, but I don't want to get into it. Is there anything else? Oh, the Cubs signed Hosmer. Very exciting. Hos is a long track record of being a great player and has a bunch of gold gloves will be a great addition for us. I think hot take. I think Haas is going to benefit from no shift, maybe more than anybody else in baseball. He hits the ground balls so hard.
56% ground ball rate last year, which is truly
how high?
56.
Yep. And he hits it. But he hits the ball hard on the ground. I've watched him in San Diego hit multiple ground ball doubles in the middle of the field. Like ground ball through in the second base hole, double.
Good player.
And he's got some winning culture behind him as well from the KC run, which is very, and Team USA.
It's been around. Guys speak very highly of playing with him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Do you want to talk about your Jets?
Lions with the day of their life coming up on Sunday.
I want to talk about that, Ian.
We were in the group message, I think, last week when the Jets were playing, and Zach wasn't being very nice. He was being a little short,
Well, nice.
That wasn't supposed to be a pun.
He was going to jump.
A little pun. Nice, man. I appreciate that, man.
He was not being very nice, and then I looked up the Jets score to figure it out, and that's what it was. The Jets were getting smashed.
You know, like it was a mixture between that and then the time. I mean, that we were recording I was trying to figure out a hitting schedule as well because we're recording at night those next two times next week. Was it next week or the week after?
Next
week. So I was kind of doing some things, watching my team absolutely just kill my hopes and dreams. So, you know, it happens, man. Like, give me a break. You know, I'm human.
Oh, for sure.
I have something we can talk about. We haven't talked about that. We have a live show coming up next week.
Yeah.
You guys do.
Well, I think it's just Ian.
Boo, just Ian, boo. Nobody listen, boo.
I don't know when this is going to be released on the pod or the YouTube. We have to figure out the logistics of.
I was just going to say, sorry, it's live on Marquee. So if you live in the Marquee watching area, you can watch it live on Marquee from CubsCon.
Okay, this is what's happening. We're doing a live compound at the Cubs convention. Which is really me talking to guys at CubsCon. Unfortunately, the Zoom capabilities were too difficult to include Zach and Dakota and Tom. So we're going to then try to turn that into an episode. It'll be live on Marquee if you want to watch on Marquee. And then we're going to try to turn it into an episode and release that later. But we do, we have another guest coming on next week, hopefully confirmed, tentatively, and would be a really fun guest for us to talk to.
Why don't you say who it is?
I don't think you can say confirmed tentatively. Those are two words that mean the opposite.
I don't want to say who it is because the tentative confirmation scares me, and I don't want to say who it is and then whiff it because then I'll be disappointed.
How about this? He plays for Tucker Barnhart's old team.
I think that's. I think
I was going to ask him about that too.
I think that's enough to get the people going. Yeah. Let's get to the Tucker Barnhart interview. Two-time Gold Glover.
Brought to you by
Roman. Tucker Barnhart coming up in a sec. But first, do you want a better sex life? If so, you're not alone. Roman is here to help. Roman is the digital health clinic for men, addressing a variety of sexual health needs and offering genuine medication that helps achieve and maintain a strong erection. Roman offers discreet wipes that help you last four times longer in bed. In men with low T, getting testosterone levels back to normal can increase your libido. Roman offers a testosterone test and treatment for low T. At Roman, there's no waiting rooms and no hassle. It's just a straightforward digital experience from the comfort of your own. If medication or testing is appropriate, Roman will send it directly to your door. Everything arrives in discreet packaging with free two-day shipping. To learn more about how you can achieve your own personal sexual health goals, go to ro.co/johnboy today. That's ro.co/johnboy today for 20% off your entire first order. ro.co/johnboy. Tucker Barnhart time.
Ro.co.
Yeah.
Ro.co. Tom, how do you think they know that it's four times longer?
I think there's probably been some testing. You know, our friends over there at Roman, they're doctors. They do science. They do tests. They do studies.
They run independent studies. Let's get to the interview with Tucker Barnhart.
Wait, when a Gold Glover asks a Gold Glover to do something, you do
that's,
it.
That's, I mean, apparently, Jesus, how quickly they forget.
I love what you have your name as. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
As soon as I texted him, he was like, Shorty's going to kill me for giving me so much shit for not saying yes when you asked.
I did say it was my fault because when you said book me for next week, I completely forgot to like even answer it. And then I texted you that night and I was like, eh, whatever. I understand.
Shorty texted me like 2 hours before he wants to come on. I got two kids, bro. I got a 5-year-old. I got a 2-year-old. I got a wife. I got a lot of shit going on, brother.
That's what I did say. I said, you know what, guys, it's on me. I said, it's partially on me. They can vouch. It's my fault.
You're doing the media tour right now. You did the official Cubs announcement today, right?
I did. I'm doing it all today. I'm knocking it all out one fell swoop. It's good.
What are you most excited for about Chicago? Obviously you were in the Central for a long time, played in Chicago quite a bit, but like, what's the one thing being on the Cubby side that you're excited about?
For sure. Well, first of all, I've heard so many good things about the Cubs organization as a whole and just how they treat players and how just that they do it right. And it looked like that as a visiting player, right? Like you come in, I mean, I think it goes without saying the environment at Wrigley Field is just, it's second to none, right? So you see that right off the top. And then as an organization, when you hear things like that, like playing against you guys, when I was in Cincinnati, when y'all were making a run in the playoffs, I would say, like, I would mention it to Rizzo, like, I'd get to first and be like, you guys look like you're having a blast. And it's like year after year after year after year, it didn't matter who was on the team, what the lineup was. It just looked like you guys were having a good time. And it looked like a bunch of dudes that love playing with each other, that love playing ball. And again, it didn't matter who like was on the team. It just looked like a blast. And you couple that with the environment. And then from everything I've heard about how the organization treats players, like it just, I would say that's probably the thing that I'm excited about the most.
So did you go into free agency, like kind of hoping, being like, hopefully Chicago reaches out?
I mean, yeah, for sure. I think I'd be lying if towards the end of the year in Detroit, I mean, it was clear that I wasn't going to go back there, and that's fine. I know there's no ill will or anything like that. at all. And I understand completely. I think the human element of things, you start to look around, obviously free agency is coming up. And so you start to look around to see, well, this could be a fit or this could be a fit or maybe it is, or it isn't, or whatever. I'm a Midwest dude. So I live in Indianapolis. I live 2.5 hours away from Wrigley Field. So I was lucky as hell with the Reds to be an hour and 45 minutes, like door to door for almost 8 years of my career. And then, so I'd be lying if I said I wasn't hopeful that the Cubs would reach out, just because proximity to home, just again, the environment, things like that. But yeah, I was hopeful for sure.
I love that. Love a Midwest guy staying in the Midwest.
Me too. What's
up? Do you go back on off days? If we have an off day in Chicago, do you usually go home?
It'll depend. I mean, it'll depend. We're building a house right now, so I may. I did early on in my career in Cincinnati. I'd go home on off days, but then it got to become a lot. I mean, especially like when my family's all with me, like it may be different now just because my oldest son is getting ready to start. He'll start kindergarten in August. So that'll change things where they're gone for the last 2 months of the year. And then obviously if we make playoffs, like they'll be back in and out there, but it could change if we have an off day at home or whatever, and say we have a night game, which obviously we don't have many, but if we have a night game the next day and I could get home after a day game, spend like 36 hours at home, then maybe. But it just becomes a lot.
You can blame it on the kids, but you can tell us that it's hard to golf when you're going back and forth on off days.
1,000%.
There you go.
1,000%.
Hey, it's a safe space here.
Even though
you're a player, huh?
I play a little bit. I can play a little bit now.
I warned him. Hey, I did say that you were ducking matchups though all year. That's not true
either. That's not true either. Come on. In spring, in fairness, I had no idea who you were in spring. Let's be really
honest. Yikes. Oh, hey, but no. No, because you came up to me. You were like, hey, Shorty, I heard you play golf. And I was like, oh, dope.
I don't mean it disrespectfully. I didn't know who anybody was, really, to be honest with you, in spring training. I will say that my club at home will be hard to not come home and play at during off days. But I got down to a 3-4 this past summer, Ian. But I went into the winter with like at a 3-8 or something like that.
Ian, is that good enough to play in your group? I know you're pretty stingy who's allowed in.
That's tight. I love that. Right. Are you a guy that plays during spring training? Will you get out?
Oh yeah, the way that the housing and shit out there, like looking at it or whatever, we didn't start looking until obviously I knew where I was going to be. So it's a madhouse finding a spot with the waste management and the Super Bowl there this year. So my family is going to come out at the end of February and then like the middle of March for a week at a time. And then we must have found it like the day that it dropped on, VRBO or whatever, but I found a condo on the ninth green of the Champions Course at TPC.
Shorty's so jealous.
I'll be there for quite a while. I'll be at that course probably every day in the afternoon until we start playing games.
No, Shorty, you're gonna have a lot of fun in Lakeland, man. Seriously.
Yeah. No. It's a blast, Tuck. You know, it's awesome. It's fun.
It's a good spot. It's a good spot.
Zach, you've experienced both. You can tell.
Grit and grind city.
I know, but it's man, because the place that we play at in Lakeland is actually I don't know if you played Tuck at Grasslands. Like
grass, it's okay. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good course, but I mean,
you can spray options.
The options that you have in Arizona is just absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, there's one on every corner. There's a show course on every corner.
That's exactly right. Tuck, you know, you mentioned when you were playing the Cubs before, but like, you know, obviously a lot of day games kind of stink in general, but unless you're getting to a routine, but like as an away player, does that make it easier when you're playing at Wrigley, when you're like, oh shit, there's going to be 45,000 people here on a Tuesday afternoon. Like this is a little bit better than playing in front of 10,000 on a Tuesday. Like, like a topic of conversation as an away guy going into Wrigley, especially however many times a year?
Oh, it comes up for sure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's kind of nice to play in that environment, especially as a visiting player when you're coming in. you know, you have a bunch of day games. You may be coming off a trip where, for whatever reason, you had a night getaway or a long flight, even if after a day getaway, it gives you like a little bit of a boost energy wise to come in and play in front of those people. If you're a little bit tired or whatever, it kind of gets you past that feeling of being worn out or whatnot. But it's definitely talked about. It was talked about a lot, good and bad, you know?
Right.
But for sure, it was talked about, no doubt.
You guys have always said like it's nice playing day games because you can actually have like, you can go out to dinner, you can do other things, where anywhere else your day is over at 12 o'clock, basically.
It's the best. Day games are the best. You can have a normal life. You can go to eat. You can enjoy the city. And it's a lot easier to have day games on the home side with everything that we have in the home clubhouse and the locker room and the training room, the hydro and everything that it is. Like, you need to get in the sauna. You need to get the steam. You need to get whatever you do to get your day rolling. Like, it's a lot easier than the visiting side. That's not great.
When coming in, especially with the old clubhouse playing day games, the old one, yeah. God, it was terrible. It was so hard to get ready. You had like a hot tub and a half, and that was it.
Yeah, probably 8-Ball probably making you like hot dogs for breakfast over there.
Grabbing McDonald's egg McMuffins and hash browns.
8-Ball, wow.
Tuck, what a can beauty. You talk to me about switch hitting? You hit left-handed for a couple. Are you still hitting only lefty, or did you start hitting righty again?
Last year I went back to it, and then in 21, I just left-hand is my natural side, and in 21 I went to solely hitting left-handed, and then going into Detroit I went back to switch hitting, thinking that it would be good, maybe get some more at bats or whatnot. Didn't end up working out for whatever reason. And I found some things, I felt some things in my swing that I don't know if it were like subconsciously or whatnot. But I felt like doing some things left on left put me in a better spot just across the board, like directionally, path wise, whatnot, everything. It kind of just put me in a better spot. And when I went back to switch hitting, it was almost like I felt like I maybe neglected those feels or those things just because I was trying to maintain two swings. And going into the off season, I was like, you know what, for me, like I did the left on left, I felt good, I felt confident and comfortable and felt like I had like a pretty good amount of success. And then went back to switch hitting and then felt like I lost a little bit in terms of just my left-handed swing in general, just from a feel standpoint and a path standpoint. I'm excited. I'm going back to just hitting left-handed, and I'm excited about that.
Ooh, was that a topic during recruiting? Sorry, Dakota. Like, was that not recruiting, but like free agency? Did they add? Like, was that a thing where it's like, hey, I'm only going to hit lefty, or I'm going to be a switch hitter?
If they asked, I was honest with them. I didn't bring it up necessarily. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I had a really good conversation with AJ. Around the trade deadline in Detroit last year, and then kind of after and towards the end of the year when it was clear like what the next steps for me were, and again I was completely fine with that and it makes sense. I've always been a better left-handed hitter even when I'm switch hitting. I'm naturally left-handed, and the way he explained it to me was the first time that I'd heard it that way, and it made a lot of sense to me. He said, I don't think somebody's going to sign you solely because you're a switch hitter. And I think you'll always be paired with a right-handed hitting catcher. And so for me, the way that I took that or understood that was the badass lefties that you're going to face, it's going to be a predominantly right-handed hitting lineup, regardless of who the guy is or who in what position they play. And so in those moments, the right-handed hitting catcher most likely is going to play, and I'm not going to play over the predominantly strictly right-handed hitting catcher because I switch hit. And there was like a light bulb moment for me where it was like, left-handed is my natural side. I need to put my best foot forward hitting on my natural side, knowing that it makes me feel certain things a certain way that keeps me crisper and cleaner. throughout the entirety of the year versus trying to maintain two swings.
How long had it been since you faced a lefty hitting lefty when you decided to switch? Years, probably.
Years, man. Yeah. I honestly don't even remember. Yeah. I would take left on left BP in those years where I was still switch hitting, just to feel certain things. But it in a game, I can honestly not tell you the last time it was prior to that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Riz used to talk about left on left BP, and he would have Hadavi, who you've probably talked to by now. He would have Tommy come and throw, because Tommy pitched to the big leagues. So Tommy has this like natural run on his ball and pretty decent life, even though he can't pick his arm up for 3 days after he throws BP. But Riz would make him come out on the field and throw him left on left BP, because he said it would lock him in and create some different feelings for him. And I was shocked when you was like early in 21, we played you guys and lefty comes in and like what? And you hit left on left. And I think you singled to the right side or something, but you had success doing it. And I was like, damn, because I was thinking about myself and I was like, I think I would feel like the ball's coming from behind me, but I was super impressed that you stuck to it all year and were able to do that. It was pretty cool to see, especially for a switch hitter who's like at points in my career thought about like, I don't know, this guy's not a great matchup for me right-handed. Like, what if I did go left?
Right. It was one of those things, man. Like in the minor leagues, I wanted to give it up. Like it was a long time coming. So it wasn't like I've sucked right-handed for like a month, so I want to give it up. No, it was like something that, I mean, hell, I remember having a conversation with our hitting coordinator in Double A talking about it. Like, hey, dude, like it's time. Like I need to just focus on hitting left-handed. And obviously I didn't do it until then, but it was, like I said, something that I felt like just made me a better overall hitter. Just focusing on hitting left-handed, and I'm happy with it. I'm glad that I'm going back to just hitting left-handed.
All right. Last thing before we let you go, I want to know, coming, you just did this with Detroit. You just went to a new team, new organization, new pitching staff. From the catching side, you come to a new team, new organization. What's like, what are the things that you do during spring training? Is it like a million conversations with pitching staff? We have a staff. We have a pitching coach. We have Hadavi, but those pitchers get 85 bodies to help them get no hitters doubt. Out. We no have so doubt. Many humans over
what,
there. So
how many like do hitters have? Staff? How many do you have? Ian?
We got not like two many. Guys. We got nobody. We got a couple dudes. Flipping yeah, balls. Right. A couple flippers. Is that so? What's the thing that like this spring you're gonna do to get to know the staff? Like, what are your keys to that?
For me, I said it earlier when I was talking to a couple of media people, where I think it's a lot of things begin with just having like random conversations, you know, like huge. Trying to get to know like how a guy ticks, right? Because I think that part of our job as catchers is to be part psychologists as well. So like when I go to the mound, like I'm going to talk to Kyle Hendricks. I'm sure of this. I don't know this, but I'm 99.9% sure that I'm going to talk to Kyle Hendricks different than I'm going to talk to Marcus Stroman. I'm going to talk different to Marcus Stroman than I'm going to talk to Justin Steele. And like we have, and I think as catchers, you have to know that. And I think that stuff starts in just getting to know like how a guy's wired. Like, what does he like to hear? Does he like patting on the back when things are starting to go a little sideways? Or does he want me to like go out there and like jump his ass and like try to get him locked in? Like what gets a guy locked in? So I think it starts with those conversations in the lunchroom, in the weight room, whatever the cases are. And then like into the bullpens and stuff, I really like to talk through bullpens. I think it's important to, from a catcher standpoint, just to understand like what a guy's working on like with a certain pitch, right? So if a guy going specifically when he goes to his breaking ball in the bullpen or on the side, is he working on throwing strike breaking balls today? And if he's throwing strike breaking balls, like where do I need to set up, and what does he like to see from a target standpoint? Or the opposite, is he working on like punch out swing and miss breaking balls, and where do I need to set up, and what does he like to see? And then talk through it that way. And then I think conversations along the lines of like, hey man, game on the line, 3-2 count, bases loaded, doesn't matter the hitter, like what's your best pitch, what are you going to? Because I think a lot of times pitchers, if there's some indecisiveness, sometimes they'll lead toward they will lean toward the scouting report versus just going with what they do the best. We had a pitching coach in Cincinnati, Derek Johnson, for the longest time, who I love. And I still talk to him to this day quite often, actually, where one of the first things he said when he came over was, I'm not here to make you guys do anything differently. I just want you guys to be great at what you're good at. And if I can get you to be great at what you're good at, I'll take my chances with everybody. Because at the end of the day, man, like, hitting so hard. And I think pitchers lose sight of that sometimes, where they try to be too perfect, or they try to just maybe recreate something or try to be somebody that they're not. Where at the end of the day, if you look at it as simple as, you know, as a pitcher, you know what you're throwing, and the hitter has to be prepared for three or four different pitches in multiple locations. I think it's as pitching is as simple as that at times, where if you do what you're good at, and even if the hitter does what he's good at, I'll take my chances from a pitching standpoint that you're going to get the guy versus the alternative. So I think a lot of those conversations, like I said, they happen just when you're not expecting to have like a get to know you type conversation that's going to affect you down the line during the season. But for me, I try to knock them out all the time. I try to talk to as many guys as I can. I'll talk to Jan a lot. I'll talk to our other catchers. Maybe it's a double A invite guy that's coming over that's caught a double A prospect that potentially could be in our bullpen or in our rotation. Like, hey man, you've caught this guy a lot coming up through the minor leagues. What have you seen? Or when he's going poorly, like, what's going on? What's he doing? Just trying to get as much. I've always been a guy where it's like, give me as much information as possible and let me filter it out. Let me figure out what works for me. Over time, like, it's gotten smaller and smaller, the amount I know what I need now versus when I was a little bit younger. But it's a bunch of conversation, man. But a lot of it, like I said, happens when you're not talking about baseball and you get a read on a guy and what he likes to do. And then the baseball conversations for me are a lot shorter.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I feel like that's a really good point, real quick, just about, like you said, like with pitchers, like what they do great. Like, okay, there's a lefty at the plate, Hendricks on the mound. This guy hammers changeup, but does he hammer Kyle Hendricks changeup? Probably
that's,
not.
That's the thing. And a lot of guys, I think, get wrapped up in that. It's like, well, this guy kills sliders. Well, you have top 1% of the 1% sliders in the game. Like, you're going to throw it.
Exactly.
You have to.
Yeah. Like,
If we go down with your changeup and it's far and away your third best pitch, but the guy doesn't hit changeups, but you threw it dick high down the middle, it's hard to go. It's hard to like swallow that, right? But if you get beat, if Kyle Hendricks gets beat on a changeup to a guy, he's a walk off homer on a changeup that's executed. Like, I mean, unfortunately, it is what it is. You know what I mean? So for I could talk about catching, game call, and all that shit for hours, man.
But I know what you mean. Like, guys just get so caught up in the like scouting reports of like, oh, he struggles with this. It's like, well, maybe that's not a good pitch for this guy. Like, don't throw it, because if he just throws a spinner, still gonna hit a home run. Like, they're good hitters no matter what, even if they struggle with that pitch.
I think catchers get wrapped up in that, myself included, where you, in a way, you cover your ass, right? Like, well. Yeah. The scouting report said we need to flood the zone with changeups with this guy, but it's our fourth best pitch. But if I call a changeup and we end up getting beat, at least I have that in my back pocket. Well, that was the best pitch to throw the guy.
Yeah.
And you lose sight of kind of like playing with your eyes or seeing what you see, really, and just feeling your way through the game. I think there's a fine line between that. I think you have to, especially if you've been around for a while and you have history with guys, whether it be at the plate or whether it be behind the plate, you have to kind of trust your gut and trust your eyes too.
For sure.
As well as the scouting report.
One more quick thing. Do you have any tips for Ian how to play with a new gold patch on his glove, since you have multiple?
It's heavy, bro. You gotta make sure you break it out in spring training. Don't expect the opening day to pull it out and use it. You got to get used to that. It weighs your hand down a little bit. Timing a little bit is a little bit different.
That gold patch is nice. That thing looks good. Hell yeah, it is.
I got asked. I got two good stories. So to the last thing I'll say about the pitch calling thing, I have a Michael Lorenzen, who Shorty will play with. I owe him a lot about from now knowing the understanding of what it's like to be like a almost a psychologist behind the plate. we were at Wrigley in like 15 or 16. I'd caught him a little bit in the minor leagues, and I'll be the first to tell you, like, the best way that I respond to coaching is when I suck, tell me I suck. Like, I don't want you to sugarcoat it. I don't want you to pat me, like, please. Like, that's the way that I'm going to get better. I'm going to get through like a shitty spot. And so I go out to the mound, and before he even says anything, like, I like lit into him and like, dude, like, come on, we gotta lock it in, whatever. And he looked me dead in the face. He said, whose team are you on? I'm like, well, fuck. Like, I never thought of it like that. Cause clearly, like, I want the best for him and I want him to succeed. And I was just speaking to him the way that I would like a coach to speak to me in a time like this. And that really like made me think, like, wait a minute. Like, it doesn't, all guys don't respond to certain things a certain way. Like, it's counterproductive, right? And so, like, I told him that before we both kind of went our separate ways in Cincinnati. I owe him a lot for that. So I thought that was a cool little nugget that it happened at Wrigley that kind of like changed my career around a little bit.
That's one of those big things you find out in spring training. Like, you find out the guys you can kind of like mess with and like the guys you got to get on and the guys you kind of got to go out there and be like, hey man, it's all right. Like, you're doing fine. Like, you know, it's just different with each person.
No doubt. And that's what kind of like made me think about the psychology side of it. Like, I'd never thought of it that way until that moment at Wrigley, which I thought was really cool. So the other story, it's not worth time. So we're good.
And Tuck's a big hangout guy too. So that's where a lot of good conversations also come from.
No doubt.
Are you a room beers guy? What's your hangout?
Give me some room beers, man. Give me some room beers.
Did you meet Danny Mueller yet? Did you go to Wrigley?
I didn't go to Wrigley. I've exchanged texts with him, but I haven't met him.
Room beers.
You're a wine guy, which I'm a big wine guy as well. So.
Yeah, wine guy. Danny's getting into wine too. We'll have plenty of bottles floating around. Stroman's always bringing the good wine too.
Nick, rich. Nick Frangella walked me around. I think that's how you say his last name. Unfortunately, if I'm wrong, I apologize. Yeah. But he took me around everywhere during my physical and stuff, and he was just kind of giving me the rundown on what guys like to drink and what certain guys like to do. So it appears like we got a lot of wine guys, which I think I'll fit in pretty good then.
Yeah, we're gonna be good. Hey, thanks for coming on. I can't wait to get out to spring and play some golf. We're gonna be,
me too, man. I'm excited.
It quite.
I just need like,
but let's make sure all the bullpens in the morning, all the bullpens early.
No doubt.
Let's get you out of there. Let's get you to the golf course.
I appreciate that very much. And you just gonna need me to give me like 3 aside, 4 aside.
Yep. That's a lot. Maybe one.
Really, really appreciate you coming on, Tuck. I know it was really hard to get you on. We just had to have another guy. Reach out, but I appreciate it, you know.
Yeah, man, certain guys go, they think alike and they kind of do things for one another when you get to a certain spot, you know.
Yeah, a couple of teammates.
I love you, Shorty. You're the best.
Yeah.
Hey, talk to me about the Jets real quick. You don't have to put this on the podcast.
I'm actually muted right now. I don't hey, come on.
Hey, just ask me about the Colts. It's a dumpster.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I know. You know what, dude? It's just the same shit. It hurts. It just hurts.
I'm about to renounce my fandom of the Colts, so I might become a Jets fan.
It was funny because me, you, and Foles were talking every week. We were just like one thing after another. Then when Breece Hall got hurt because he was on your fantasy team, it was just like, oh, no.
Everything went downhill.
After that.
Well, one of you two is probably getting Derek Carr, so.
I hope it's not the Colts do not need another reach right quarterback.
They probably will.
I'm in no position to talk about not wanting a quarterback. So
Tom Brady's gonna go. He's gonna be a Jet next year.
I would literally I'd be a Colts fan.
You don't want Tom Brady.
No.
Come on. No. Wow. You don't want the best quarterback to ever play the game.
He hates Tom Brady more than any athlete.
That's last year when
you
we were
welcoming him with open arms, Shorty.
I think, I don't know if it was 21 or last year, we did football jerseys and Robbie Grossman was like really trying to make me wear all TB12 stuff. And I was just like, I'm not doing it. I am not getting on that plane with that on me.
I love it. I appreciate you boys for having me. Let's do it again.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. That was awesome.
You bet. Ian, I'll see you at CubsCon.
Yeah, I'll see you in a week. It's going to be fucking freezing.
can't wait.
Ian, you're gonna love him. He's awesome, dude.
That's what I mean. Like what he was saying about pitchers, like it's so true. Like all he was saying about like how you have to treat different guys and like that.
Bro, it's crazy because hitting goes the same way too, where like Trout knows that he can't or doesn't swing well at up pitches or doesn't hit well and up in the zone. And I think a few years ago he tried to combat it and his swing got not bad. I can't say it. Mike Trout was a bad
but
swing.
For but for him, it's like, oh, 900 OPS. He's grinding.
No, right. But like he came out and said, he's like, yeah, dude, he was like, I worried about that pitch. And like, he's like, now yeah. I'm just like, fuck it. I'm not swinging. Or if I get the two strikes, I'm going to try to foul it off somehow. You have to throw that in that perfect little area every time.
He got disciplined enough to say, if you don't make three pitches perfectly at the top of the zone, you're not going
to
get
so me. I had a hitting coach reach out to me like 2 or 3 days ago, and you were just kind of talking. He's a new guy and talking about like what I do well or whatever. Or he was like, hey, what do you think about on up pitches or four seams up? And I was just like, listen, man, like my hardest not to swing at him. And if I do, like until two strikes, and he goes, oh, well, that checks out because it says here, like, you literally don't swing at him. Like, yeah, the fuck would I? Like, I don't know many people who hit four seams up in the zone very well.
Dakota, can I ask you? I want to ask you a question.
What do you got for me there, big guy?
After you heard him talk about catching and game calling and talking to guys,
yes,
would you throw to Tucker Barnhart?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows way more than I do. Tell you what he would never
he seems,
based on what he said about always throwing your best, I would never throw a slider. I'd throw four seams up and change ups down, and that's all I'd ever throw. And I love that.
I thought that was really interesting.
No, he simplifies it.
Yeah.
Because nowadays everything's so analytical and so like, well, they struggle on this pitch and they're hitting this on this. Like, Ian, you don't like fastballs up. But do you hit change ups well, lefty? What don't you hit well? Backfoot sliders? No one hits
backfoot. Yeah, high heaters, lefty.
That's a harder one. Like, say this guy doesn't hit high fastballs well. Okay, but he missed the fastball.
I will chase the slider down. I will also chase the slider
down. And that's what I'm saying. Like, say you don't hit sliders back foot well, 0-2. Okay, but he calls it for me, and I throw a spinner at the right at your top of your knees. It's 450 feet. Like, it depends on the pitcher. Like, I always look at it the same way he does. Like, beat my best pitch. There's nothing more annoying than getting beat on like your third pitch, because then it's like, why did I throw that? That pitch sucks. You know what I mean? Like, Zach doesn't love sliders. Yes. So if I hang him a slider, though, he could still hit a slider. He's not an idiot.
Right, I thought it was really cool to hear how much he enjoys talking about pitching, game call, like all that stuff. Like, he seems, yeah. Zach, can you confirm he just loves talking about it?
This dude is still muted.
Dude, what are we doing?
His mic's definitely like unplugged.
Let's relax.
Can we talk about Zach's position right now? Zach is like laying down on the couch.
Zach mailed in this podcast 48 hanging, hours ago. Dude,
come on. Anyway,
we got Barnhart as a guest. He was like, I'm out of this fucking episode.
Yes, Tucker is the perfect example of that. And you can just tell, like, watching him catch is he's always upbeat. You can always, like, he'll block a ball and immediately ask for a new one. It's not like, it's just very, you know, he keeps the game moving. He's very into the game. Where I'm not saying, you know, guys aren't into it, but he just looks like he wants to be back there and he enjoys catching, you know, and then he's always making sure that we're having a team dinner. He's always making sure that younger guys or guys who aren't there all the time feeling included, you know, he's a homie. Like, he is a perfect team guy. And like, when I saw that he was going to you guys, I was like, dude, that's going to be awesome. Especially, you know, guys who hang out a lot, teams that have close camaraderie, like he's perfect for that.
Him and Jan are going to get along really, really well.
Yeah.
The best catchers are the ones that almost talk too much, where you're almost like annoyed, because then at least like they're trying to learn about their pitchers. Like, if they ask you to, like, in spring training, you need to learn everything about them. Like, he needs to know how to handle Marcus Stroman in certain situations, like what he wants to throw, how he goes out and talks to him in a mound visit. Like, that stuff's important when you get into the season. And I guess I don't know because I haven't talked to a billion catchers, but I feel like not all catchers think the way he thought, like, just with like the mindset and all that.
No, I mean, there's a reason why. There's a reason why he's played for so long, and there's a reason why. Yeah, you know, I think this is what. I mean, this is his second year of free agency, right? I mean, he's played seven.
I think it's his seventh season.
Yeah.
He signed an extension in there somewhere, right?
Oh yeah, you might be right. I think he did. He's rich.
He signed an extension with the Red Legs.
I don't have service time.
9 years.
Yeah, nine years. Made his
debut. This is his ninth year.
10th year coming up.
This will be his 10th, but he, you know, he debuted in 14 and played in 21 games. So service time wise, this is probably his ninth, but 10th season.
No, and like, there's just something to be said for those type of guys. Like, it's hard to play, obviously, for like, you would know, like you've gone through it before. Like in 19, you were going through it. Like, it's hard to, especially at such a demanding position, you know, like you have to be able to control a game. You have to be able to talk to guys. You have to be a leader. And everything that I've saw, I mean, again, we didn't play very much last year, but my time on the taxi squad for basically every other week, you know, and hanging out with him, like you could just tell, like he wants to be there. He wants guys to get better. He is having those right conversations, and he's just, no matter what, like he had a tough year last year for the like hitting wise, and you really couldn't tell when he was at the field. And I think that is, you know, it's way easier said than done, but especially for a catcher and an older guy to you know, set that example. I think it goes a long way.
Let's give the people the Sloan screen time before we sign it off. Sloan screen time brought to you by Sloan. One of the nice submissions for the Kendrick Scott thing put a nice Sloan flusher in there. It was a great touch. If you're looking for automated faucets, automated flushers, Sloan Valve, they're your people. Sloan Stadium, Mesa, coming soon. Cubbies will be there any minute. Guys, times?
Let me see.
4:53.
Mine might be a little high because I've been dialing into this Brian Koberger case.
Yeah, for sure, man. What is it?
5:46.
Ew. Nobody loves looking up like random like legal cases than Zach.
That's not random.
I have never heard. I have no clue what you're talking about. I don't care to know. So let's get to Tom's time. I don't.
You haven't heard about the Idaho killings?
No.
Come on, man. Open. Read a book.
Where'd you see it on Twitter?
No,
in a book.
Newspaper.
It's a book?
Newspaper.
Fucking idiot.
Telling him to read a book about current events is very funny.
Objective. That's like, where'd you read it? Like,
there's no book about it available yet.
Tom?
Last month. 5:10. Mine's 5:10.
That's a good day, Tom.
Yeah.
That is a good day.
That's another statement of you belittling Tom, and I'm not here for it. I'm not.
I'm not here for it.
I
don't feel. You all right over there?
No.
How was that belittled?
Grinding my gears.
I had 3:48.
2023 Zach's an angry elf. I don't like
it. Yeah, man. All right.
Well, now I'm an elf. Now you're making fun of me because I'm short. I'm an elf.
You have a Christmas tree back there still, and it's January 3rd. Zach, let's clean it up.
How's your swing feeling? How's your swing? How's your baseball swing? You've been swinging it?
Yeah, I have been. It's not bad.
You rake. Your hands don't sleep.
No, that is true.
Those are my two positives for Zach, for his one negative for me. We'll see you next week for episode 141 of the Compound Podcast, brought to you by Parse Rum. Go have some Parse and go on watch this on YouTube so you can see all those submissions for the fun thing that we did on Twitter. We'll see you next week.
The first ever Warehouse Games Captains League Slapball Tournament is underway. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Slapball presented by Shady Rays. Upgrade your eyewear game today with an exclusive offer from Shady Rays. Go to ShadyRays.com, use code WAREHOUSE for 40% off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Thanks, Shady Rays.